Hi there. Jay from the future here, coming back to where it all started. First off, we just want to say thank you for checking out our little podcast. Part of bringing this dream together has naturally come with a few technical challenges and learning curves along the way. Sadly, what some of that means is that some of the audio quality across season one isn't quite where we'd want it to be. However, we promise that the audio quality improves during season two. That being said, if you're looking to see where our conspiracy first began and don't mind a few rougher edges, please stay with us. We hope you do, and we hope that you enjoy those stories with us. We'll see you all at the opera. Please be aware that the Other Voices podcast contains content intended for mature audiences only. Scenario content warnings are in the show notes. Listener discretion is advised. Right, fuck it. Here we go. You are listening to the Other Voices podcast. We are a brand new Delta Green actual play podcast. We are a group of players scattered all across Europe. Admittedly, there's probably one more German in the group than we initially intended, but here we are. We've been playing games as a collective for very, very many years. The question that we always get asked to start, or I've been asked repeatedly, mostly by the players in the group, why do we need another podcast for TTRPGs? Really simple. We wanted to bring the games that we play out to more people. That's what I told the players in front of me. They think that me running this as a podcast means that they don't get stuck with a shopkeeper who talks to them for 3 hours on end, but that's still going to happen. And I'm sure it'll make for riveting listening. Look, hopefully you enjoy the stories that we build. So for the very, very first time, my name is Jay, and these are The Other Voices. So starting off, our players have already spent, or our agents, as the case is going to be, because it's Delta Green, multiple hours pouring deep background research, building out characters. They've put, weeks of research into it. I've sent them, one of them's gone full method acting, gone undercover over in the US. Like, we've really gone all out on this. So they've built these fully fleshed, fully rounded out characters that I'm going to spend the next weeks terrorizing over the course of several sessions and stories. So starting out going around the virtual table, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself and the character that you're going to be playing. So in no particular order, we're going to start with Yuyin.
Okay, I'm supposed to talk about myself. Oh gosh, I'm Yuyin. Call me you or whatever. I think that's difficult enough. My favorite joke is, what the fuck are you talking about? Anyways.
Calm down, cowgirl. Wait.
Oh, shit. I'm playing Dr. Mel, or privately called Cataleya, but you're not supposed to know that, so. That's it. I'm shy.
Noah, you're next.
Hey, what's up? I'm Noah. I'm a 5'5" Belgian. Can I go back home yet, Jay? Or am I supposed to stay in California for, like, another...
No, you're stuck there.
Oh, so I can't... Okay. So I live in California now. I'll be playing Scott Wiley. And I'm just very much looking forward to starting off this new campaign.
Arela.
Hi, I'm Arela, or Arela. Technically it's Arela, but no one can pronounce it
no,
proper.
We're not doing that.
I'm 29 years old, and when Jay doesn't have me here playing deadly lethal games with him, I really like to draw the things he described before. My character is Dr. Mira Novak, who is a epidemiologist. I practice saying that word.
Bravo.
And she is an American citizen, but she was born on a military base in Poland.
Lee.
Hi, I'm Lee. I'm from Sweden. Excuse my accent, I can't help it. I'm playing James Conroy. He is a federal agent.
Superb. And lastly, Sam.
Last and certainly least. My name is Sam. I'm from the United Kingdom, unfortunately. Today I will be playing Special Agent Adrian Warwick, an FBI agent about to get in way over his head.
So somehow over the course of character creation, what we realized is that Agent Warwick is the only one who seems to not be clued in on the conspiracy on Delta Green and everything that's going to come through with it. So I'm kind of curious to see how that's going to pan out, because I reckon it's going to be most of the group trying to make him look at the shiny thing over there and not at the hideous monster with tentacles over on the other side. So where we're going to start our game, we're going to start back in the glory years of 2005. It is the middle of summer. It is Independence Day weekend. It is the 5th of July. You have all been summoned. I say you all. We have a lot of doctors in this group as I look at it. Dr. Mel, Dr. Mira, Scott have been summoned to a briefing for the first time. None of them have ever been a part of a Delta Green opera, as they're called, before. So this is their first briefing. So where you are going to find yourselves gathered is an old office building in an abandoned office park, and there are computers on the side of the room. It's stained gray carpet. All the furniture has been pushed to the side of the room. An agent that you have never met before is standing, leaning against the back wall, probably about 5'4", blonde hair that's tied in a very tight ponytail, stretched. You can kind of see stretching, pulling back. She's in a fairly cheap looking office suit. Next to her is a stack of papers. They've got FBI scrawled all over the front of them from what you can see. She takes off her glasses as you all arrive one by one and kind of gives you a slightly tired, withered sort of a look as you all arrive. And she's going to say to you, have any of you ever been a part of anything like this before?
What does like this entail? I've been working in or for special organizations, but otherwise?
We've had to pull this one together quite quickly. There isn't a huge amount of time running behind. The FBI have received their notifications. Unfortunately, it's put a fairly hefty time pressure on behind us. So while ideally we would have preferred perhaps a more seasoned group, we're going to make do with what we have. Very simple. She's going to hand each of you a manila folder. Skim the briefing packet. You don't have much time on this one. Put it simply, you're heading out to Rancheria Falls, up to the trails up there. This is a missing persons case, not like any that you have experienced before. Missing person in question is actually being found. A little 6-year-old boy, his name is Brandon McGill, where to start with it. Saturday morning, one of the park rangers, and she's going to leave through the pages. Tamika Galigos finds a child wandering around the park by itself, out in the forest. The child was naked. It was wandering through a huckleberry field, probably 2,000 or so meters away from any normal trails, anything like that. Tamika states that she was wandering, looking for anybody who's strayed off, garbage, anything like that. Heard the cries of the child and headed over. She's going to leave through. Child was found coherent, though naked, filthy. He'd clearly been out there for a little bit of a while. The child in question identified himself, immediately asked for his parents. Tamika brought him back to the Bain Ranger Station, assuming that the child had been lost from backpackers and the hikers in the area. They made contact with the child's parents, and that's when things took the first turn. Brandon McGill has been reported missing, but not recently. Brandon McGill went missing 40 years ago and somehow has resurfaced the same age.
40.
So you're saying this 6-year-old child is supposed to be 46?
I'm saying that is the information that's being provided to us.
Was there any dental record, medical record?
this happened yesterday.
I see.
You are to travel out there, conduct any research that can be done. Very simple proceedings. Locate the child, identify the child. Determine if an unnatural threat is present in the area, remove that threat, and make any resulting outcome appear mundane.
Could just be its son, his grandchild?
This is what you are going to go out and investigate. If it's mundane, fine, it can go through the normal channels. If there's anything unusual about it, it needs to be shut down. Unfortunately, the problem that we have is that the ranger in question raised this directly with the FBI. How we found out about it is that one of our settled agents within the FBI notified us. We have had to pull a couple of strings, and we've got one of our agents assigned to this case within the FBI. However, you will have a civilian of the FBI attending this crime scene. We were unable to defer said person away. Dr. Mel, you don't have to put your hand up at the back of the room. We can have a conversation here.
I feel like it was a proper way to communicate right now. Everywhere, I didn't quite catch. Was the child found in the same place it went missing, or was there any kind of difference?
She's going to leaf through a few more pages. I don't have it in my briefing.
You should take care of the potential unknown supernatural entity. What about the child itself? Do we cover that up as well?
She's going to look at you. The directive is clear here. Locate the child. Identify the child. Determine if there is an unnatural threat within the area. Remove that unnatural threat. And make the outcome appear mundane.
Okay. Roger that.
We have a jet waiting. It will take you out there. You'll have 6 or so hours. Any prep, anything that you need, any resources, we will do our best to provide them. But as I said, this operation has had to come together very, very quickly. All in all, you'll probably have no more than 24 to 36 hours before the FBI descends in full on that area. You need to have this wrapped before then.
Any friendlies on site?
One additional agent arriving, nestled in. She's going to leave through a convoy.
Now, looking around the room, what about code names? We have a civilian with us. What are we supposed to say?
We have no cover in place for you on this one. You'll need to do your best with it.
All right, so using our real names.
I would advise you do not use your real names, but...
That's a question. All right, nothing I'm not used to, I guess.
It's okay, Linda. We will figure this out.
Who's Linda?
You.
Oh, me. All right. Long pause.
Your handler is going to come for just like the little like stressed rub of her head. Plane is waiting on the tarmac. I would suggest you go quickly.
Right.
The first course of action for Dr. Novak will be to refill a coffee cup because she does not know when she gets another one.
That is fair. So what we might do then is we're going to pull ourselves from here over to our two FBI agents. So with that, James Conroy, you would have received a similar briefing. It would have been quite hurried and frantic. It would have been over a burner phone. I don't know, it would be on a Saturday that it arrived, so either, you know, unexpectedly within your house, or where would you not expect to find a burner phone within your day-to-day?
I guess, I mean, could be a house, could be a car. I don't know if he's on a case, might be a hotel. In his car might be a good one, you know. It's just in there, in his, like, in the, under the armrest.
Yeah. You know, so it's going to ring. You're going to receive the same briefing with kind of the one additional is that they're going to be saying that Agent Warwick has already been assigned to this case. You were to keep an eye on him as best you can. We pulled the best strings that we could, that it was an agent under your supervision. Obfuscate. If you have to hide evidence, do it. Do not get caught. Remember that of all the agents assigned on this mission, you are the one that is going in under your true name. We understand the risk to you is extreme on this one, but there is no time.
Who am I working with?
a cell has quickly been pulled together. I won't lie, it's possibly not the ideal grouping, but as I said, there was very little time to get more experience on this case.
Is there... I mean, do you have any idea what to expect? Has anything like this happened before?
I can't divulge that.
Don't you think it would be better for all of us if we knew what we should prepare to face?
Sometimes it is best to find your feet on it. The full picture can pull you astray. This is how the program works. It's compartmentalized information. Speaking off the record between us, I don't have any more on this.
Okay.
But knowing what I do about the program, you may not want more.
Yeah, great.
The team's briefing. Locate the child. Identify the child. Determine if there is a threat within the area. Remove said threat.
Do I need to know anything about this Warwick person?
Not much to tell. A fairly standard agent as far as we can tell. Unfortunately, you will probably have a bit of a car ride to get to know each other. Anything else, we'll be in touch.
And the phone's going to bleep dead. Our players who are in Delta Green, I want you to have a think about what research might be required before you arrive. James and Adrian, let's kind of start with the two of you. Adrian, in terms of the information that you have received the same information. Obviously, you have no idea of the program or anything like that, but that there is something unusual about this, a missing person's case where someone has reappeared 40 years after disappearing.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Would you be driving or would I be driving? Which one of us is in the driver's seat?
I think James would sort of wait to see your preference, I guess. He'd sort of let you pick what you want to do.
I can't smoke while I'm driving.
All right, I'll drive.
Why can't you smoke while driving?
I was supposed to say, it's such a beginner's move. I saw people roll a cigarette at going like 100 on the highway.
I like the way you say you saw people, like that person wasn't you.
No, that's fair, that's fair. Still, I would take the preference of being in the passenger seat.
Fair.
Okay, yeah, you can be in the passenger seat. Should we give like physical descriptions of our characters?
Absolutely, please do. Please do.
Yeah, lead off.
All right, so Agent Conroy, he appears to be in his early 30s. You might know him by reputation, you know, the incident. Anyway, James Conroy, in his early 30s, he's very handsome. He's kind of a youthful look to him. He's got combed back auburn hair, brown green eyes, lightly freckled skin, and he's like a little bit on the shorter side, just a little bit. He looks quite well put together.
Yep. On the other hand, Adrian is opposite in many ways. Sort of a little bit more scarred, a little bit more rugged, very tall, broad in terms of build. He's older. He looks to be in his mid to late 40s. Shockingly, is in really good shape. Like, extremely good shape for both his age and his habits.
When he started describing that, I was picturing like a twins, you know, like Danny DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger situation.
He has a constant sort of like 5 o'clock shadow. Just stubble, absolutely constantly. He's always almost obsessively like sort of grooming at like loose hairs or shaving on the road, but it just never goes away completely.
Wait, I have a quick question. Can I have a quick question? When he shaves in the cars, do the hairs end up on his lap? Where do they go? If it's my car, you can't be doing that.
No. Yeah, like a little, you like shaving mirror, a little thing on the bottom of it to catch it.
Smoking throughout this procedure.
It seems to be because he's always also combing his hair. Like it's a very like
How
it's a kind of OCD.
Does this
thing.
Fucking man have?
No, but not at the same time, Jay. Not at the same time.
I have discovered a supernatural.
Yeah, but it's like a very I have six hands actually.
The call was coming from inside the house.
So it just seems to be like a very OCD thing about his appearance. But he has a very similar hairstyle. His hairline is receding, though. So, I imagine he's currently sat pouring over the case file in the side of the car, just flipping through, flips back, grumbles, frown crosses his face, a little bit of like that sort of like annoyed, kind of bewildered, just grunting, flips through it again.
James is gonna glance over at you. He's gonna ask anything interesting.
Don't know. Can't really tell you. Either we're wasting our goddamn time, or this is an actual mystery.
Mystery? How do you mean?
Well, I've been with the Bureau about 25 years now. I haven't seen anything this weird. Kid vanishes 40 years ago, turns up exactly the same. No, probably just some other kid that looks the same, has the same name. I mean, they say across the world you've got 5 or 6 people who look exactly like you. The alternative is that a kid went missing for 40 years and reappeared without aging. So, like I said, we're probably wasting our time. Or this is one for those weirdos in Washington.
So, before arriving...
Can I have one statement first? I would like to make small talk that endears this person to me in the car, aside from this, you know. I'm trying to ingratiate myself a little to this
sports
guy.
Ball.
James probably has like no interest in sports ball, but he keeps track of it a little bit just so he can have like it as like a thing to talk about guys at the office with, you know. He keeps track of all the major ones, just the scores, the highlights, just so he can sort of like, oh yeah, did you see the game last night?
What would be like the big song of like 2005 would be like, have you heard of that Gwen Stefani? Oh, what's she up
that
to
is,
these days?
That is, right, look, all I'm saying is fading interest in sports, but keeping track of like football, American football, or whatever popular sport it is, basketball, just so that you can blend in it. Well, that's sociopath behavior.
A little bit.
And it's agent behavior.
I feel like there's a significant Venn diagram
between people
FBI
who like sports
agent
and
sociopaths.
Oh, FBI agent sociopath. Not people who like sports. And I mean, I'm sure there's a crossover on that Venn diagram anyway. Absolutely. Talk all the sports ball you like.
Go 49ers. What?
We'll argue about this later.
Scott's a big football fan, just so you know.
It bring me great joy that you are developing a fandom for American football via your character. It's like, it is the method acting that I want to see.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
my YouTube search history is rapidly devolving into something that
into something healthy for a change.
Anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Okay. So what research do we need to? Would we like to undertake?
I mean, the first thing that Dr. Novak probably wants to find out is what Dr. Mel also asked earlier, is where did this kid go missing 40 years ago? How far away was it? Was it in the same state, even the same area? Mm-hmm. Was it somewhere completely different?
Okay. So what is the people who are in kind of the two separate groups? In our first group, none of you are in the FBI, so you don't have access to the records. What is your bureaucracy ratings? And is anybody above 50?
Definitely not above 50. I have a 40 in bureaucracy.
I don't, but I do have access to classified reporting through my agency.
I will give that as that is absolutely fine. So you get the digitized copies sent over. They're of the where are we at? 1970s reports? Can I do maths? Did I do that right? Let's assume I did that right.
A little bit earlier.
1965?
Yeah, that would make sense. Sure. Maths is hard. Leave me alone. About Brandon McGill's disappearance. Overall, they're relatively benign. There's not, on the surface, there's not a huge amount there. As you start to look through, though, there are some, there's a couple of oddities throughout. So what you come across within the file, so Brandon F. McGill disappeared from the Hetch Hetchy area in Yosemite near a natural landmark, which is known to locals as the Devil's Chair. He went missing on June 22nd. He was with his parents on vacation. His parents at the time, so you have their names, it's Ian and Anne McGill. They were 27, 26 at the time. Their statement read that the child was right there beside them, and that's a direct quote, when he disappeared. It was about 4:30 p.m. when it happened. The FBI became involved. There was an eyewitness, a backpacker in the area, claimed to have seen a man in black clothing following the McGills down one of the trails. This sighting was corroborated by two separate independent witnesses. They volunteered the information, but their names are not on the record. One described the man as tall and pale, and the other one detailed a figure dressed in black. There were multiple searches of the area. One included over 100 personnel, dogs, nothing. In 1987, Brandon McGill was officially declared dead. What your contact is going to tell you is that the parents are in fact on the way out. They are due to arrive on Monday morning.
What is it now, Sunday?
We are very early Sunday.
Yeah.
If I could do any further research on that, I would look up dental records from like 40 years ago. Maybe they're like from some billing. Because like it's America, right? They usually pay out of pocket or like half a copay or something, so it probably should show up in IRS files, see if there's anything available to see if this child, like, you know.
Yeah. You're going to have to roll bureaucracy for that, because that's not something you would have free access to. Or I would also give it on... I'd give it on...
Computer science?
Computer science, if you wanted to see if you can hack into something. Now, do bear in mind that if these go wrong, you will start creating a trail that could theoretically be tracked back.
Okay, in that case, I will roll on computer science, which I have a 60 in.
Okay, roll the dice.
Just a quick reminder, if I roll like a 66 or a 77, it's a critical failure, right?
Correct. So within this system, doubles under the your threshold are critical successes. Anything over is a critical failure.
Okay, here are my nice metal dice. Oh, first roll of the campaign. Can't wait to see this.
Drop the dice off the table.
Ooh. Oh no, it's a 48.
48 under 60.
48 on 60, yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, so through back channels, I'll give you access to the dental records, but currently there's nothing to match them to, obviously, but...
Just to have them.
Yep, that is fine. Like all well-adjusted people, you can have a little stack of dental records that you carry around with you.
I would just put them in my laptop bag.
Can I have a question?
You. Yes.
Would it perhaps be fair to say I had time to pull that FBI file? I am in the FBI.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, I know that one. Okay, great.
Yeah. It's all shared info. Yes, you can have it as well.
Yay.
What is there anything in addition that you'd like to look into? Because you would have, like, the two of you have much easier access to all the files that are there.
James might look up before arriving at the scene, not in the company of AGN, obviously. Perhaps other strange events that if any other strange events had happened near Yosemite at that time.
Okay. Interesting. Adrian, is there anything in particular is there anything additional that you would look into?
For the case itself, witness reports, witness statements, and any similar disappearances in the state region in like years prior, and like a 4 or 5 year period in between.
What I'm going to give you is it's probably a thread that you start pulling at, and it's probably something that you run with a little bit more. What I will give you is that 24 children have disappeared specifically in Yosemite over the last 40 years.
That is interesting. Is there any sighting of a similar figure, tall, pale, black-dressed figure in those vents?
So you're looking for pattern similarity across the cases, is that right?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So one of the things that, like, a few things would strike you about it, it's these ones, specifically this 24, all strike you specifically as those there-then-not cases. I mean, overall, if you were to do a wider search across the National Park System, you would notice there are 1,100 missing persons cases, but these are the 24 that seem to kind of, they're located around Yosemite, similar enough situations. I feel like I want something for it. Let's take a look. Do you have any sort of, I would take...
Is criminology interesting?
I'll take criminology. What's your criminology?
My criminology is a 50.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll work with that. So the things that strike you about it, quite often there are similarities around it. There is a report that is filed, an interview with a long since retired park ranger named Walter Delio. Quite often, so that the dogs would find no scent of the missing children in general. Occasionally, some of the children were actually located, but it was often miles from where they went missing. So when it came to these searches, they covered a huge, huge radius. Sometimes children were found, they might be missing shoes, items of clothing, but generally, if they were found, and this is outside of that 24, they were found unharmed. Some of the ones that have been recovered medically seemed okay. They would be running, their temperature would be up a little. They'd be disorientated, but dehydration, it's fairly easily explained. The two things that do strike you though, the disappearances always seem to occur late afternoon or early dusk. And one of the things that does strike you is that there are fairly consistent mentions of, like, in terms of the areas where the children went missing, of huckleberries.
I also want to find out why the landmark is called the Devil's Chair, and I'm assuming that I can find the other cases too, yeah. Since I have access to re-reporting, and I will tell my mates about it, so they all know. Why is it called the Devil's Chair, and do the other locations also have some kind of standoffish landmarks?
I like that they're mates. So from what you can tell, like, the Devil's Chair is a naturally forming landmark. There doesn't seem to be anything overly unusual about it. It's like, it's essentially, it's a naturally geologically formed rock pile that's almost kind of collapsed in on itself. And it's made what seems to almost look like the, you know, flat with a tall back. It's like a throne or a chair. It's more of a local quirk than anything else.
Okay, well, something I want to look into, or ask someone to look into, is the huckleberries. I want to look into if there's like a specific medicinal reason for, like, if there's like any weird usages for it that I don't know about that the kids use these days, or, you know, just like looking into the usages and the history of huckleberries, because since it seems to be like a thematic thing, maybe, you know, the kids are like sustaining on them, or there's some weird stuff on that going, you know, spreading amongst the youths.
Yeah, so I mean, like, overall, the huckleberries, like, they're
yeah,
those kids will snort anything.
Huckleberries is a hot party drug that all the kids are doing.
Yeah, you never know.
Mothers of America, watch out for signs that your children are on huckleberries.
You never know.
It has traditional medicinal values. I really should defer over to the nurse here, because anything that I say is going to get me in trouble. They're known for having high vitamin C content, antioxidant properties. There's anecdotal health that may support eye cardiovascular health. Some
also have anti-satanic properties, like anything like
funnily
that.
Funnily enough, that the studies on that are limited.
Okay.
But look, I mean,
no information that stands out.
They have kind of astringent antiseptic qualities. There is, again, a potential anecdotal that they may be beneficial in regulating blood sugar levels.
Okay, so nothing that sticks out then.
Nothing that sticks out, but even more so, it seems to all be anecdotal wives' tales that, like, oh, it treats digestive issues, skin conditions, inflammation.
Gotcha. Everything. Got a problem?
And if you don't wash them, you will get a nice cleansing of your bowels.
No question.
I don't want context or more details. It's...
No, I know. There was a fraction of a moment where I thought if I wanted to get more information, and I've decided no.
Yeah.
Wise decision.
Let's leave the scary stuff until later. Yeah. Jumping back over to easy to obtain records. How much would is it James Carson? How much have you expunged before I get there?
Yeah, I don't think he would have necessarily tampered with anything, because none of the files are like like really give too much away, and the risk reward there seems a bit off because like there's not much danger, there's nothing in there you can't see, and it's like running more of a risk to like to try to tamper with it because you might notice.
It's not quite like you're driving down the highway and James is fucking pages out the window.
No. I imagine you do that. He leans over with a marker and just redacts.
Coughs and a page disappears.
That case,
my coffee.
Other national parks in the country with similar happenings, have any of those children reappeared after a significant length of time?
So you will probably stumble across one or two cases where people have reappeared, but not within the same circumstance. It's, you know, it's the kind of the case where, like, you know, Cassia went missing here and reappeared 40 years later, but they got her on benefits fraud. You know, it's that sort of stuff.
Yeah, she was actually 40 years older.
So what I might do then is bring us all together. It's going to be a few hours later. We're going to kind of more or less all arrive on site. Agent Warwick and Agent Conroy, let's have your car pull up. You're going to see the other three agents who are standing there. They're probably scouting the area, checking, googling, I don't know. So shall we give a run round of descriptions of everybody, and we can go from there.
So my guy, Scott Wiley, he's 6'2", used to play football in his high school days before a knee injury put a stop to that. But he's held on to the physique. He likes to stay physical, like stay, you know, work out, but he also likes his beer and his desserts. So he's always got a bit of a jub, a bit of a double chin going on. But he's got that quiff. He's always got shell up in his hair and a stubble, always a stubble. And yeah, I don't know, there's just something about the way he looks that he seems to always be trying really hard. But yeah, that's my big guy, Scott Wiley. He's a police officer in his normal day-to-day job. He's married, got a kid, but of course, I mean, would he be wearing his wedding ring? I suppose, yeah, I'll take it off for the job. It's not wearing a wedding ring, so you wouldn't know that he's currently married. But yeah, that's my guy, Scott Wiley, probably undercover.
How long?
Of course, for the job you're taking.
Yeah, of course. How long has he been married?
7 years, probably a year before the probably got married and got, you know, got his wife pregnant soon after.
So just a small attention to details. How would he hide the indent? Because wedding rings dent. They press in.
He probably has like a regime of like massaging it. Like it probably has like some tip there. Make sure that it doesn't get sand in or anything like that. If he doesn't get tanned in too much, then the dent isn't too visible.
Why are you trying to hide it? Are you going to be cheating on your wife with one of us?
No, he just doesn't, you know, risk of the job. He doesn't want people to be...
He's not gonna... Look, we don't pass up an opportunity.
Look, he doesn't want people to, like... He doesn't want to endanger his wife, okay? No, he wants to cheat on his wife. Yeah, that's totally what he's thinking. It's got Wiley, wife cheater. He's that's his nickname in high school.
Wife cheater.
And I was going to say something useful, but then you all sidetracked me with stupid bullshit.
I'm
so,
really
you know, it's no, you're not. No, you're not. Stop lying. So that's my guy, you know, and that important piece of information that I forgot, you'll never know. On to the next one.
Okay, move on.
Alrighty. Dr. Mel is quite obviously someone from the military, has a clean look to herself. Also kind of tall. I didn't specify the height exactly. I don't care about that. She's
7 foot
dark.
Four.
No, not that tall.
Oh, shit.
She's got black curly hair. She's pale, has light blue eyes, and piercings dotting her face. Well, as she's not on active duty right now, she wears dark-ish makeup.
Okie dokies. Dr. Mira.
Yeah, so Dr. Mira is like 34 years old, but she may look a little bit older in the face due to stress and like way too little sleep. She has like dark circles under her eyes, some very prone wrinkles between her eyebrows. She wears her dark brown hair in a messy bun. She always has this kind of like look of concern and judgment on her face, but that's just her resting face. She isn't actually actively judging people. Her nose is kind of has like a little like bulgy tip, kind of looks like she maybe had like infection or something of the child that never really healed. But other than that, she is kind of pretty if you look behind all those things. But she doesn't really care about her appearance too much. She has big lips that are a little bit uneven on the sides, a very, like, prone forward chin.
What are you guys, like, actually, what are you guys, like, wearing right now? Like, have you dressed up to look like you're from some, like, in a uniform? Or are you just, like, wearing civilian clothing? Or what are we seeing here? Like, what are you signaling, you know?
Like, can I make some kind of, or will you just give it to me, like, what department would make most sense to be part of approaching this issue from, like, a legal jurisdiction standpoint?
Yeah, like, Park Police is a fair shout. It's probably okay. Easy. It's you're not going to draw too much attention. FBI is the other one, but it will not, from where you are, it will not hold up to any scrutiny. What you need to be very mindful of is any scrutiny that you pull on yourself will probably collapse quite quickly.
Lovely. So we go in Park Police.
Yeah, we'll give it as, like, you know, whether it's strings pulled somewhere along the line that you can have. You will not have any form of official ID, but you can certainly wear the badge, wear a blazer.
Yeah, we can dress the part. Lovely. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so that's how
I'm
going
to put on
up.
A blazer too, just to not look as stern, not the military kind of stern.
So to describe, like, the area, so Trailhead Station, this is a summer-only structure. Most of them around here would be. These parks, especially kind of the areas that you're in, they're fairly bleak in when it comes to the winter, so they tend to go unmanned. There's a small staff on site. You would expect somewhere between 5 and 8 people that would be manning it. Predominantly, they would be responsible for dealing with people who wander off trails, making sure that fires are only lit within correct areas. It's generally the lower stakes kind of side of things. The area, you know, at this time of year is hot and it's dry. There's wonderful variety of trees, black oak, ponderosa pine. I can keep going. There's incense cedar, white fir. You'd get the odd giant sequoia scattered amongst the tree line. It's beautiful.
That's lovely. Talk tree to me, yes.
The area, there's, you know, shrub grasses, coffeeberry, gooseberries, pygmy rose. You know, it's a really lush, vibrant area. There are open spaces, kind of open areas that are kind of occupied by low shrubs. Anywhere that you would find these, and you'd see it on the drive up to the station itself, they're screened off by the larger, much larger wind-breaking trees. What you would, anybody with any kind of alertness over 40, which I assume some of us have.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Give me a moment.
Yes.
Mine is just 40. Does it count as over 40?
I'll give it on a 40. Within the tree lines, you would be quite conscious of it. It would be very difficult to pick a silhouette of someone in the tree line out. It's quite packed. It's quite dense. In front of the station, it's got two of your classic 4x4 Jeeps. There's 3 quad bikes there. One of the other spaces, it's probably large enough to land a helicopter just in case something goes disastrously wrong. It's got a phone line connected on top of the station itself. It's got a radio mast. That's the area itself. This is where we're all going to converge.
So I imagine we're walking up to the three of them. What are you guys doing? Are you just sort of standing around waiting? Are you trying to look busy?
I'm surveilling the, you know, surroundings.
I think when you look at Dr. Novak, you will see her, like, kind of, like, mapping out the area and having her, like, you know, scribble something in a little notepad. I'm not sure if you can see from the distance, but if you were to get a glimpse on it, you would see her make, like, a little coordinate system.
All right, so we will go up to a lot of you. James will, you know, introduce himself. He'll say, James Conroy, FBI. I assume you people are Park Police.
Hi, good day, Agent Conroy. I'm Agent. Would it be if I'm if fucking if I'm
tripped at the first
if
hurdle?
I'm,
the cover is falling apart so quick.
Hey, no. Let me. I have a question. Park Police. Would it be officer or agent or
officer.
Ranger or officer? Okay. Good day, Agent Conroy. I look over at Adrian Warwick as well.
Flash the badge.
I'm Officer Rogers. Over there you have my colleagues, Officer Linda and...
Linda, we would have.
And what would your undercover be, Arella?
She will just look up briefly and it's like, oh, it's Melissa, but I'm give me a minute. And she's going to go back to her notepad, kind of not reacting to anything outside.
We have only arrived on scene, well, not that long ago.
Which one of you is the officer in charge?
That would be me.
Right. My partner and I are taking jurisdiction on this one.
Understood. If there's any way we can help, we don't have anything just yet. We only just got started, as I said. But we're, you know, I hope that we can have a nice collaboration on this case.
James, with his most charming smile, he'll say, I'm sure we can all get along. And he does have a very charming smile, you have to give him that.
Scott Wiley will blush and rub the indents where his ring.
She on his height, I knew it!
He puts his wedding ring back on.
Right, I want to know what the parents get her. Does he have any interviews for when they're present?
Look, they're... I was going to say probably. They're definitely not his parents, right? The sooner we go in, the sooner we can sort out who this child's parents really are, right? We can get them called.
On your lead.
He'll look over. Agent Ward.
Right.
MJ?
What?
Damn. He startled me.
He startled you?
He just said yeah. He just said yeah. My boy just said yeah. What is this?
All right. Okay. Was the child, has the child been already examined, like, medically or not?
Very briefly. Like, it's not nothing, like, like no dental records have been taken or, you know, nothing to match across. The child is relatively healthy, well, and intact, and that's kind of about as far as it's got.
All right. Then I will probably whisper to, I don't know, Dr. Myra, whatever her, I don't know, other name today is.
It's Melissa.
Melissa, okay. We have to initiate examination. I would like to do DNA testing.
Sure, I will come with you.
Amazing. Then I just follow the others.
Adrian.
Hi.
Your mobile phone is going to ring in your pocket as these conversations are happening. And it is as like you were to look at the screen, it's a number you do not recognize.
Conroy?
Yeah?
Go on ahead. I'll catch up with you.
Alright, sure.
I'm gonna take this.
I want to be clear that on the way, Agent Conroy's making charming small talk, trying to, you know, be friendly.
Football!
Sociopath!
Yeah, he's making, not necessarily football, but like, you know, parks. You ever been in a national park? Oh, I went to a national park, you know, at this age. Whatever.
Jesus Christ. Maybe
farming small talk. He may or may not have actually been to a national park. It's unclear. But he is, for the purpose of this conversation, he's been at the national park and it was very lovely.
You guys ever think how big nature is? Wow.
I actually have some national park badges from my time in the U.S. I just forgot to fucking put them on. I'm sad now. Yeah.
Do they come with national park facts?
No, unfortunately not. But it's very cool. The badges are very cool.
Wonderful.
So I'm gonna walk. I walk some distance away. Answer the phone. Who is this?
Is that Agent Warwick?
Speaking.
Joe DeWatt. You don't know me. I'm a consultant for the Center for Missing Children. I believe you being assigned to a cold case.
Yeah. How did you get this number?
I don't know if you're aware of my organization, sir. This is what we specialize in. We've dedicated ourselves and our time to trying to reunite, well, missing children with their former families.
The case I'm currently working on is confidential, sir.
I'd like to give, if you don't mind, just before you go, I do understand. I've spent a long time working on the force. I'm retired now, so everything I have here is put into the organization. If you don't mind me saying, it's I'm on my way out. I'm not looking for any information currently. I'm more trying to see if there's anything additional that I can provide to you. This is not me fishing for anything. I'm offering additional service.
How long will it take for you to get here?
Unfortunately, I'm driving. I'm hours away yet.
Text me on this number when you do. We're currently standing outside, and I'll give the number of the registration. It's where we're boxed. By the time you get out here, we're probably going to be halfway up the trail.
That's no problem at all, sir.
Don't call me again.
Before he catches up with us, I would like to make not charming small talk, but actual conversation. I won't change the tone of my voice too much, because I don't want anyone maybe sort of half listening or looking to like notice any subterfuge happening here. But I will be sort of asking, like, so, what are you guys actually?
Okay, good. I was starting to question myself here. We got assigned here, three of us. We got the case, we dug up some information, but we don't know a lot. Your guy isn't friendly, is he?
He doesn't know anything.
Okay. I'm gonna be honest, it's my first case. I'm a bit nervous. Do you have anything? Like, do we get rid of him? Like, is that possible? I'm not sure. What do we do here?
We shouldn't do anything that... a weak suspicion or anything like that.
We just need to try to... anything weird, we need to try to obscure it from him as best we can.
I would like to know the skill sets that we have here. I don't want to know who you work for or what you work as. I want to know skills. I have medical skills. I'm trained with multiple weapons. I think that should be enough for you. And... anything else you will discover.
Okay, Linda. Please don't shoot me. I would hope we all have some sort of gun training or unarmed combat training, just, the basics. It kind of raise my eyebrow.
You hear Melissa kind of scoff. Like, you don't want to see me with a gun.
Because you're too good with it, or because...
I'm a scientist. I have not been trained with a gun. And as far as my steady hand goes, it's better used on a scalpel than a trigger.
Scalpel works, I suppose.
I wouldn't personally go up against something like that with a scalpel.
I don't know what exactly is coming at us.
We don't know if anything is, really.
Do you have a game plan in mind?
I want to examine the boy's teeth and match him to his dental records from 40 years ago.
If there are any.
40 years ago?
Oh, I found some. You will notice that Melissa is talking in a very monotone voice. Seems kind of uninterested in the whole agency around her.
Oh my god. I have a monotone voice too. Okay, that was out of character. That was out of character, guys.
James will say, well, we might be best off talking to him first, and then you guys can try to examine his dental records when me and my partner aren't watching. He might be suspicious of park police performing that particular job.
There shouldn't be any issues splitting up at certain points. You don't have to stick on your asses all the time.
I'd say that's probably about when.
Yeah.
Agent Warwick is on his way back over.
James will effortlessly switch back to his charming small talk in the same tone of voice. As soon as he comes here.
I swear to God, that Super Bowl was stolen. It was so unfair. But whatever. I'm really curious to see when the new season
July
gets started.
The Super Bowl was like 4
yeah,
months earlier.
Yeah, but he's still very passionate about it, okay? He's still pissed off about it, okay? Yeah, it's the off season.
Sorry about that. That was the wife. Never lets me off the hook if I don't say goodnight. Shall we?
Good night. It's morning. James isn't gonna comment on that, but he is noted as.
You don't know where his family lives.
Okay. We don't know. Well, we should get started.
As you're saying this, the door to the station is going to open. A gentleman, he's got his park ranger hat on in like the tan outfit. bearded face. He's a little bit on the chubbier side. He's probably somewhere in his 30s. He's kind of an uncomfortable smile on his face. Is going to step out to the group. Geez, I didn't expect to see so many of you.
Well, a small matter of jurisdiction. I'm Agent Conroy. This is my partner, Agent Warwick.
Shalabaj.
Officer Rogers.
Ranger Keena. Douglas. Doug. Is this all of you, or?
Very nice to meet you. This is all of us. We'd like to speak with the boy, if you have him here with you.
Yeah, of course. We have him inside. He's as safe as houses. We haven't let him go anywhere. What do you think about his story?
I mean, I think it's impossible, but he's someone's missing child.
As he's saying this, there's going to be like a little burst of static from his radio. He's going to like put his hand down and like turn off. Oh, I'm sorry, it's been doing that.
Doing what?
There's interference. It happens from time to time. It usually means a storm is coming.
They get a lot of those out this way.
Interferences or storms? He's going to give a smile at what he thought was a joke.
Just smile back, but it's clear that I want him to answer the question.
Storms? Yeah, they come through.
While we're talking to the kid, can you get us some maps of the park?
Sure.
And who found them?
Tamika.
All right, we're going to need to speak to Tamika too, maybe to get her to take us up to where she found him.
Sure, he's going to take his radio out, and there's going to be like another little burst, squall of static. He's going to like cycle through the different channels. Hang on. He's going to kind of try a channel, give up, try another one, and then kind of he's going to settle on one. Tamika, he's going to stop and look at you. Ranger Gallegos, come in. There's going to be a pause, and the kind of the response is going to come through. It's going to be that little burst of static. And
Doug, since when have you called me Ranger Gallegos?
He's going to pause again. Ranger Gallegos, there are some folks here from the FBI. I think if you could come on back, they might want to have a little chat with you about your new friend. There's going to be a delay on the response.
Okay, Ranger Keena, I'm on my way back. I'll be about 45 minutes.
Douglas is going to turn to you, give a little shrug. She's on her way.
Much appreciated. Can I, all right, I have a question. Could I do something like human intelligence, perhaps, to see how he's, I don't know if that works the same as psychology does in Call of Cthulhu, but, you know, to see if perhaps he's nervous when talking about the child, or if there seems to be something off, something more than like concern about this child, if there seems to be something else there, some sort of other worry, perhaps.
What is your human, by out of curiosity?
My human, what a funny word, 60.
Interesting.
So, where human is interesting, it is the gathering of information, especially when someone wants to conceal it. Observation, mm-hmm. conversation, patterns of behavior. You would use human to recognize nonverbal cues, signs of dishonesty within those, you're gauging attitude. But outside of that, you would also use it to like cultivate sources of information. It would fall into like the realms of coercion.
All right, so it is applicable for signs of dishonesty. Then I'm going to ask him a question that could possibly be dishonest too. I'm going to ask, how is the boy health-wise?
He seems okay. A little shook. He hasn't said much.
Yeah, he's been out there for not 30 years, perhaps, but God knows how long. Nevertheless, any hunger, cold, anything?
No, he seems. We told him that we spoke to his Vanda, and he seems excited to see them.
Did you ask the child how long he thinks he has been gone?
He's going to turn to you. No.
Maybe that would be a good starting point.
That Thank you for that suggestion, Officer
Melissa. Then let us start with it.
Look, he already said the kid was shaken. Probably not verbal. I mean, you've been through what he's been through, you'd probably be the same. We won't know until we talk to him.
Yeah, we'll take a close look at the child anyways. We don't have to ask all these questions he doesn't have answers to, right?
Maybe I'm just the wrong person, but like if I were to find a child in the woods, alone, in a national park, my first two questions would be, are you okay? How long have you been out here? Isn't that a normal human response to a situation like this?
He's gonna kind of look around almost imploringly at the rest of you.
James is sort of gonna give a, you know, a smile, a what can you do shrug, you know, trying to... He doesn't have a good response, but he's trying to appear to be on this person's side in this.
Well, those probably were the questions that the other ranger asked the kid when she found them.
Yeah, I guess you'll need to speak to Mika then.
Could I also roll for human?
Yeah, getting back to that, I want my human. I want to do some human.
Yeah, sure. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for signs of dishonesty that he is concerned about this child. That something is amiss with this child, that he's noticed something worrying, that he's just sort of nervous when talking about the child. Anything
no.
like that? No?
No.
All right.
No.
Okay, then I want to look for signs that he's too calm about this.
What's your human?
50.
No, he kind of just seems a little slow.
Oh, all right. No questions asked anymore.
I like the way everybody lights up, like, oh, that's fine.
He's a special
chill guy, you know? He's just a chill guy.
I bet he likes sports ball.
Yeah. Oh my god. I can talk football.
I bet he's a Browns fan.
He's just happy to have a child in safety. It's fine.
What?
Or speaking of child, let's talk to a motherfucking child.
Yes, let's go.
Yeah.
I
don't think 5 people should be talking simultaneously to a child, so I would like to suggest that only 2 or 3 people go in. Preferably people who have medical knowledge.
Perhaps the 2 FBI agents.
Yeah, we are
in first, but I think the medical knowledge is a little bit more important on that part.
Oh, we're gonna pull the jurisdiction
you
card.
You know, if he can talk, I can still go in afterwards and look at his teeth. We're friends.
Jesus, there's a better way of describing that.
We want you guys to be doing that when we are not looking anyway, so I'll lure my guy away and then you can look at his teeth.
I can look at his teeth. If they're in his head, that's a bonus.
I'll volunteer myself because my charisma is at an 18. I can surely talk to
far?
A child.
You're gonna talk to him about the football, are you?
I want your favorite team, buddy.
I've seen how you handle small talk.
My character would like to quietly ask you how much, you know, experience you have with forensics in this case.
She will look up at you and go like, I would say more than you would expect in my field.
Craziest answer. What the fuck does that mean?
That's really not an answer I can really work with, honestly. So she's just gonna stare until you give another answer.
She would probably like tell you about a time she worked in a forensics lab during her pre-med times. So
okay, so you have probably more than 40%.
I have exactly 40.
Okay, we both have the same. So
we could always take turns. Like, again, it's overwhelming to have all 5 of us approach the child. So we can just have the FBI agents go ahead, maybe with me as well, just to get a scene on, like, okay, like, do the interrogation part. And then I'll be like, oh, my 2 colleagues can take a look at the boy health-wise, medicine, like from a medicinal perspective, lab perspective, biology perspective. Go in 2 teams. Don't overwhelm the kid. And then we can split up. But yeah. Scott Wiley will join the other FBI agents then.
Yeah, so let's describe the station itself. So you're going to... It's going to have like a covered porch in front of it. You're going to walk in. To your left, there is going to be a radio room. And you're going to be looking down a hallway. To your right, there is going to be a common room. And straight in front of you are the stairs up to the next floor. Brandon is being looked after up a floor.
Is that like a vending machine or anything outside?
Yes, indeed. So as you walk in, the common room to your right-hand side, would you can see the door is open, there's vending machines inside.
Okay, yeah, no, I will stop, pause, take out my wallet, get a dollar out, book $1, buy a kind of Coke and a candy bar.
Ah, getting that sponsorship in. I love it. What candy bar? Be very specific.
That's a good question, actually.
Pick a tasty one, please. No. Someone get sponsored by something tasty.
No, I feel like that's actually a decision to be made here, right?
Roll candy bar psychology.
I'll get a baby roof.
A what?
I'll get a baby roof because it's something that was around in the 60s.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay, I'm on board. Fine. One of the other rangers is going to be sitting in the common room. The rest of us, what you are going to see as you walk in, as I said, on your left-hand side, there is the radio room. One of the other rangers is leaning over the radio, pounding it with their fist, swearing at it. Yeah, in fact, we'll go with two of them. They both look in their 20s. The woman is going to turn to the man and say, hitting it is not going to fix it. It's like, but it's spitting out static. I can't get an outbound signal at all. Everything I do, I turn channels, it's just static. It's just noise. The corridor will run down towards this room. It's open, so any of you walking in will observe this conversation.
Before I go upstairs to talk to Brandon, I will sort of pause, probably at the bottom of the stairs, lean over, radio trouble?
It's on the fritz again.
How long's it been doing that?
It does it before a storm, but never this bad. We can't get anything out.
When did it start?
Must be one hell of a storm, huh? He's gonna say with a smile.
Oh, God.
Maybe an hour
any
ago?
Hurricane reports.
He's gonna kind of turn and cycle through the different channels. You're gonna hear the static ease fade in, fade out. They're trying the receiver. There's nothing there.
Perhaps I got two colleagues who seem to know their way around computers. Perhaps one of them can help you out.
You want my advice, hit it harder. I'm going to walk upstairs.
Yeah, I'll follow.
As I walk upstairs, though, I want to try, because we have radios as well. We have walkie-talkies as agents, probably connected to each other. I'm going to try on the way up just to see if it connects to James's.
So what's going to happen is, as you walk up, and what the rest of you are going to see is the young gentleman is going to take the advice and bring his fist down hard on top of the radio equipment. There's going to be a sputter of static. It's almost perfectly in time, Adrian Warwick, with kind of you trying to flick through channels on yours. And you're going to hear this little burst of static is going to come through, and it's going to sound like this. And then all the radios are going to go dead. That's where we're going to leave our first episode. We hope you enjoyed our pilot episode and look forward to seeing exactly where this mystery is going to go and how much trouble our players are going to find themselves in. I won't lie, I had to leave the dog grumbling there because clearly she agrees. See you next week. You have been listening to The Other Voices, a Delta Green actual play audio drama featuring Arela as Dr. Mira Novak, Lee as James Conroy, Noah as Scott Wiley, Sam as Adrian Warwick, and Huyen as Catalea Dr. Mel Velez. And I've been your host and Game Master. The theme songs are composed by Lee Lindmere. The Other Voices is edited and produced by Jamie Chappell and Lee Lindmere. As always, please rate, subscribe, and follow us on all the usual social medias.